Om Shri Sai Ram. Invoking Bhagwan's divine blessings, esteemed elders and my dear brothers and sisters, a loving Sai Ram to all of you. On the occasion of Tamil New Year Day, this evening we have a young and dynamic student of Bhagwan, Sri T.E. Aditya, will be addressing all of us. Aditya joined Swami's educational institutions in the year 1995 as a Standard 1 student in the Sri Sathya Sai Primary School, Prashanti Nilayam. He then went on to join the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School, Prashanti Nilayam, completing his 12th standard in the year 2007. He later joined the Brindavan campus of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning for the BCom honors course. He also completed the postgraduate program in management, specializing in finance from a business school in Chennai. He is currently working in Chennai as a lead business analyst. Sri T.E. Aditya is a very active Sai youth, and even as a student, he was always in the forefront, actively participating in various cultural and service activities. Hands that serve are holier than lips that pray. This evening, he's going to speak on a theme that is very dear to Bhagwan, the spirit of service, the spirit of seva. Please welcome Sri T.E. Aditya. Sai Ram.
Om Shri Sai Ram. With humility and love, I offer myself at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Baba. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, I extend a loving Sai Ram to all of you. At the very outset, I would like to thank Swami for giving me this opportunity to address this gathering here today. In addition, on behalf of everyone, I would like to wish one another a very happy Tamil New Year and a very happy Vishu. Once upon a time, there was a very loyal builder who constructed many properties for his boss. After 40 years of service, he decided it was time to retire. On the day of his retirement, his boss conducted a small tea party, invited just a few friends, and got it done with. This builder was very dejected. He was expecting some sort of a reward, but since he got none, his feeling of dejection went on to a feeling of revenge. 2 months into his retirement, the boss returned to him and asked him to complete just one last job for him. The builder thought that this is his chance to take his revenge and agreed to do so. By using very poor raw materials and also not putting his usual sense of care and diligence, he constructed a very subnormal house and presented the keys of the house to the boss. The boss immediately said, "When you retired, I couldn't give you any reward, but this is your reward." And saying so, he gave him the key of the house. We can all understand what would have been going through the builder's mind. This is similar to our case in our lives. When we do service to others, we believe we are doing it for them. But when we understand deep in our hearts that when we do service to others, we are actually doing it for our own good, the amount of effort and love we put into it will be much higher. Well, what exactly is service? What is seva we all talk about? When Prahlada used to chant the name of the Lord, that was Namasmarana. But when he ensured that all his friends and his classmates and also his teacher chant the name of the Lord, that is seva. In the Mahabharata, Lord Krishna used to tend to the horses daily after battle and only then take his food. Krishna needn't have done that. Anyone else could have done it. But Krishna did it just to prove to mankind that as a charioteer, it was his duty to take care of the horse. That is service. We have seen umpteen number of examples where Bhagwan himself has gone around serving people. Again, Swami needn't have done all of that. But why did Swami do it? To prove to mankind that if we need to reach God, we need to do service. That's why Swami very often says, Manav Seva is Madhava Seva. He has also said, I separated myself from myself to love myself. What does it mean? It means God is in each and every one of us. And when God is in each and every one of us, if we go to help one another, aren't we serving God? That's why Swami also says, Gram Seva is Rama Seva. The other day, I got a chance to visit primary school, where I first studied here. And when you just see the teachers there, yes, they have grown across age. It's just the white hair on the head, that's it. Apart from that, the amount of dedication they still prove and go to Swami's work, you just can't challenge it at all. And when we ask them what exactly keeps them going year after year, they just say, Swami and Swami's children. And I'm sure that is pretty much the case with even the higher secondary school, the Prashantaliam campus, Brindavan campus, and also Anandapur campus. The amount of service these teachers keep doing, I'm saying about these teachers because I've felt the amount of service they do for Swami's name, and that is reflected on all of us passing through this institution. Well, what is the full form of seva? As the teachers mentioned, it's for Swami and Swami's students. So what is the full form of seva? S-E-V-A. It's very beautifully put. You serve, that is S, so that the divine energy, E, flows through you, so that victory, that is mukti, is assured. That is seva. Swami is not saying, I'll give you mukti. He's assuring it. He's guaranteeing it. That's how close seva is to Bhagwan. That's why Swami also says, seva is the highest sadhana. As we all know, Swami beautifully puts very high fundamental values in very few small line words so that all of us can understand. In Tamil, Swami beautifully said, seva means setakareva. You come, setakareva means come, you do seva, I'll take you towards me. That's what it means. In Sanskrit, we have this sloka which says, paropakaram idam shariram. It means the very purpose of the human body is to do service. It doesn't say one of the purposes of human body. It says the very purpose of the human body is to do service to others. Like how every activity we do in this world, there are some things called, we follow a rule book. And Swami very beautifully gives us 7 inner feelings we need to have while performing seva. And these are very practical things which we can follow in our day-to-day life. Swami first says, niraham bhavam, that is egolessness. While doing service, we should never have ego. Second, bhagavat bhavam, the feeling of humility. The moment while doing service we feel, I am giving him, there is no humbleness in service. We are all equal in the eyes of God. The third is seva bhavam. It means the feeling of unconditional service. The fourth is prema bhavam, the feeling of love. The fifth, prashanta bhavam, with the equipoised mind. The sixth, shama bhavam, the feeling of forgiveness. And finally, tyaga bhavam, the feeling of sacrifice. When we have these 7 inner qualities while doing seva, it's and all of them are very practical. Swami is not again telling us to do very high level things. It is very small practical things which we can follow in a day-to-day life. Many of us may be wondering, is service only through actions? We are wrong in this aspect. Service can be through thought, word, as well as deed. When we think good for others, that itself is service. Many of the times we see an ambulance going on the road. If we can just spend 2 seconds for Swami to give strength to their family, that itself is service. Seva in word. When we just talk good, if someone is down or dejected, just few good words to keep them happy, that itself is service. And of course, seva in actions. Any help we do for anyone, in any aspect, that itself is service. Swami once again very beautifully puts it. Service broadens the vision, widens your awareness, and deepens your compassion. Well, we all may be wondering, why should we do service? Why should we serve someone else? Swami gives a very beautiful analogy here. We are walking on the road, singing happily, and suddenly we stamp on a thorn. Immediately the mouth shouts, the eyes shed tears, the back bends, the hand goes down, plucks the thorn and throws it away. Now Swami is asking, if the leg stamped on the thorn, why should the remaining parts of the body act in unison? The answer is, the leg is a part, that is an angam of the entire body. Similarly, we are just an angam of the entire society, which is the sangam. So if someone in the entire society is in distress, shouldn't we go down to help them? Because Swami says, when you go down to help in the sangam, that's when you'll reach the lingam, that's God. We have heard this very often, Vasudeva Kutumbakam. It just means the world is one family. And to take it even further, Swami is a mother and father. The very name Sai Baba means Sa plus Ai plus Baba. Sa means eternal, Ai means mother, and Baba means father. So Sai Baba actually means our eternal mother and father. And if Swami is an eternal mother and father, aren't we all his children? And if we are his children, each one of us is a brother and sister. So if someone is in distress, shouldn't we really go down to help them? That's what Swami wants from service. Again, he just says, when you are serving for yourself, not for others. When we serve, we get the goodness of it. End of, if you just think practically, if you just go down to help someone, at the end of it, aren't we all happy inside? That's the true bliss Swami is talking about here. Our very motto of our Gram Seva, which happens here, is Grama Seva is Rama Seva, Manava Seva is Madhava Seva. Again, when we see God in each and every being, that is what Swami is saying. We serve others, we are serving God Himself. Sarva Jiva Namaskaram Keshavam Pratigachati. Sarva Jiva Tiraskaram Keshavam Pratigachati. Whenever we salute a human or any living being, that goes to God. Whenever we criticize another human, that also goes to God. Well, many of us may be feeling our ancestors have done some punya and that can take us across in life. That is enough for us. Why should we do service? And I just thought of a very beautiful analogy here. When a child is in a mother's womb, whatever food the mother eats, it gets assimilated and passes on to the child. The child doesn't need to do anything. But once the child is born, if it needs to satisfy its hunger, it has to eat itself. Similarly, whatever good deeds our ancestors have done, that passes on to us. And we are born in a good family, good surroundings, good education system, good background. But once that is done, if we want goodness in our life, we need to do service. Just like how the child must eat for itself to sustain itself. Similarly, if we want goodness in our lives, if we want good things to happen to us, we should do service to others. Well, again, we are telling we need to do service. But what are we gaining by service? Everyone wants some gain, some return while doing anything in life. What are we gaining by doing service actually? Earlier Swami said, don't expect any reward while doing service. But Swami also says, you should know what awaits you when you do service. So what actually awaits us when we do service? It's a very common story, but I would like to narrate it here once again. There was a lady and her son was long gone. He went to a distant country for a job. And it was many years since she even heard from him. So since she was staying alone, she used to cook all by herself. And daily there used to be a beggar who used to come to her house asking for alms. So whatever she cooks for herself, she used to give him, typically 2 chapatis. And whenever he accepts the alms from this lady, he used to say, the good you do comes back to you. The evil you do comes back to you. Initially this lady was very nerved because she didn't like these type of comments. But as time went on, she got used to it and she just took it as a passing comment from him. On one particular day, she was in a very foul mood. And when the beggar came asking for alms, repeating these lines again, she decided to punish him. So she went in, made chapatis, put poison into it, and went to go and give the beggar. Just when she was about to give the chapatis to the beggar, she realized her mistake She threw the chapatis and made fresh new good chapatis for him and went and gave the beggar the chapatis. He again repeated, the good you do comes back to you. The evil you do comes back to you. That evening, she heard a knock on the door. And when she opened, she was surprised to see her son there in rags, disheveled hair, and almost half dead. She just brought him in, gave him some food, gave him water. And the second the son was fit enough to talk, he just said, I would not have reached home had it not been for a beggar who gave me two chapatis. The lady was in shock. In case she had given the two poisoned chapatis to the beggar, it would have gone to her son that day. That is why it said, the good you do comes back to you. The evil you do comes back to you. And that is the reason why we should serve others. It is not that I am serving others so that I get good in return. You serve others so that you will always get good in return. If we can serve by ourselves, why should we come to Swami to serve? Many of us may be wondering, why should I join Swami's organization, and or why should I do Swami's activities and come and serve? I can serve by myself. Yes, we can serve by ourselves. But what is the benefit of joining Swami's organization and serving? Swami gives beautiful analogies, and I would just like to name 2-3 of them here. Many of us believe in the theory of karma. So if it was our karma to carry 10,000 1 rupee coins with us wherever we go in life, it is going to be a very uncomfortable process. We go to have a bag full of 10,000 1 rupee coins and take it away everywhere. But if you come to Bhagwan and you give him the 10,000 1 rupee coins, he'll give you 10,000 rupee notes. We are still carrying the 10,000 worth of burden in our lives, but it makes it so easy for us to take just 10,000 rupee notes. That is the power of coming to Bhagwan. Swami will not interfere in our karma, but he makes it so easy for us to live on with it. We need to go to a dentist. Our tooth is having a cavity, so we need to pull it out. And you go to a dentist. He can take it out with or without an anesthesia. You come to Swami, it's like anesthesia. You feel no pain. The tooth is still being pulled out, but there is no pain felt. That is the power of coming to Bhagwan. We all know taxes are inevitable in life. You pay tax regardless. But then, coming to Swami is like Section 80C. You get the LIC, NIC, PPF, you can show it and get the deduction. That is the power of coming to Bhagwan. If you just spell the very word seva, S-E-V-A, and just try to jumble it up, we get the word save. So what it means is, seva is the only thing that can save us from this world. You do service to God, that is the only thing that is going to take us to God. Because the very definition of avatar itself says, God's descent for man's ascent. And when Swami himself has come down doing lots of service activities, it's just an example of what we must do in our lives to reach him. Again, God's descent is for man's ascent. And that is the reason God has taken this avatar to take us to him. In our daily lives, what seva can we do? All of us may say, I have to go to office, I am busy. So what service can we do in our daily life so that we fulfill Bhagwan's wish? As you mentioned earlier, if an ambulance is going, we can make way. That is service. We can pray for the family. If a mother is cooking at home, she can chant Swami's name and cook. That is service to her family. When a person is working in office, he can think he is doing it for Bhagwan. That is service. Again, service is not just in action. It can be in thought, word and deed. A teacher can think he is serving Swami. A student, because Swami very beautifully said, why a child should serve his parents? Because the very word parents means parent. Our parents have taken care of us when we are small. So when we grow up, it is our time to pay our rent to our parents. That's why Swami said it's parents. If you just look around Prashantinilayam, the number of service activity that keeps going on here, it has all the examples in the world you can take care of service here. We have the mobile hospital, the drinking water project, we have the super specialty hospital going on, our education systems, everything is a service activity in Prashantinilayam. And in that way, Swami's organization, we know that every state has an organization. And every state conducts lots of service activities. Being a part of Tamil Nadu, I would just like to say some of the activities that are going on in Tamil Nadu. We know, like how in Prashanthalam there's a mobile hospital. There are mobile hospitals going on in Tamil Nadu, all over Tamil Nadu. Swami said very clearly, people in the poor areas may not have the means to come to us, so we need to go to them. That is the reason the mobile hospital has taken forth. There are continuous medical camps going on, veterinary camps. Also a very special project, the Sri Satya Sai National Nutrition Project. For all the poor women who are pregnant in the villages, there is a prescribed ingredient called the Sai protein, which Swami himself has given. And this is being given to these women. And the results are outstanding. Women who have diabetes during pregnancy has drastically reduced. The average weight of a child has drastically increased, which is tending towards the normal weight of a child in an urban area. When all these activities are being done, it's as good as saving a life. That is the power of service activity which goes on in Swami's organization. And this I am talking only about Tamil Nadu as a state. We have so many states in India, and India is just one country in this world where activities are going on. We should never be surprised if someone says there is a veterinary camp going on in Argentina. It is still happening. It really is happening. And the only thing, we just cannot understand or even comprehend the level of Swami's activities going on worldwide. For the simple reason is this. Swami is a very silent worker. There are no advertising, nothing. He is a very silent worker. I'm just reminded of a very beautiful incident here in Kulwanth Hall. Swami was gliding and coming across for darshan. And as he was just passing through the students' area, right in between the path of two students, there was a twig. So students were in a dilemma whether to get up and pick the twig, because in case Swami stamps on it, it might cause some discomfort. But as they were deciding whether to get up and pick, because in case they get up, they might disturb the discipline of Mandir, Swami quickly was approaching this area. And just before Swami reached this area, a sparrow came flying, picked up the twig and flew away. The students were very happy, but they were also surprised that it happened the spur of the moment. Swami very, very mischievously, with an impish look in his eye, came towards the students and said, "What, you think only you can do my work? Even a sparrow can do my work." His mission will continue with or without us. It is up to us to grab his opportunity. Whatever is there, even if it is a minute opportunity we get from Bhagwan, it is up to us to grab it. Because once it comes, it goes. We have to really yearn for it. I would just like to conclude by saying these few words. Swami does not want our ability. He wants our availability. Let us always be available for him, because only then we will be able to avail of his grace. Jai Sarah.
Sai Ram. Now with Bhagwan's blessings, we'll be offering a devotional music program by the Chinmaya sisters from Chennai. Uma and Radhika, popularly known as Chinmaya sisters, are disciples of Madurai Sri T.N. Sheshagopalan and Naiveli Sri R. Santhanagopalan. With their melodious and spirited singing, they have carved a unique niche for themselves in the field of Carnatic music. They were initiated into music at a very tender age by their mother, Srimati Bhavani Natesan, a musician herself and an All India Radio artist from Mumbai. Later on, they came under the tutelage of Naiveli Sri R. Santhanagopalan and learned from him Carnatic music for over 12 years. Since 1995, they are under the able guidance of Padma Bhushan, Sangeet Kalanidhi, Kalaimamani, Madurai Sri T. N. Sheshagopalan. Their maiden concert was for the Spirit of Youth series of the Music Academy in the year 1992. Since then, they've been performing extensively all over India and abroad. They are A-grade artists of All India Radio and have featured in several archival projects of All India Radio. They're also regular performers for Doordarshan and other TV channels. They have several prestigious awards and titles to their credit, like Vani Kala Nipuna from Sri Tyaga Brahma Gana Sabha 2012, M.S. Subbalakshmi Endowment Award from Narada Gana Sabha 2009, Sri A.M. Venu Gopal Award from Kalakriti Chennai, and many more. This evening, they'll be accompanied by Kumbakonam Sri M.R. Gopinath on violin, who is also a top-grade artist in All India Radio, Nellai Sri A. Balaji on Mridangam, and Madipakam Sri A. Murali on Ghatam. Please welcome the Chinmaya sisters and their fellow musicians. Sai Ram.
పరమ భక్తి
Oh,
Thank you. Thank you.
Mukunda Madhava Urani Manohara Govardhana Gita. Yeah. Gurudeva. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu. Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu. Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
Jai Bolo Bhagwan Shri Sat.